Okay, so should we just jump in then?
Let's just jump in.
Okay, let's do it.
Hey, everybody, it's Creatively Complicated. I did it.
You did it. Wow.
I did it.
We're live.
We're so live. Hey, Summer, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, so this is Creatively Complicated. And what are we doing here? What are we doing?
What are we doing? What are we doing? Well, first, where are we? Because that's part of our appeal, right? We're in different places in the world.
True. Yes. You're in China and I'm in Germany.
Yeah. Now I'm in Shanghai, China, and you're in, Nuremberg?
Yep.
Nuremberg, Germany.
Nuremberg, Germany.
Mm-hmm. At some point, we should probably track how many kilometers away that is. I think that would be a fun fact.
I think there's this thing called Google Maps that could make that really easy for us. So yes, we should definitely look into that.
Tell you what, let me, I feel pretty safe on this offer because I go to a post office like once every 5 years now. The first person to actually accurately email either one of us that information, I will send something from China.
That is a great offer.
Yeah,
someone
there
should
you
jump on that.
Yeah. No guarantees it'll be worth more than a dollar, but I will send you something.
Absolutely.
From China.
That's very exciting.
Dun, dun, dun. Our first giveaway, the first 5 minutes. Wow.
Yeah, man. Keep listening. You never know what's going to happen here.
You never know. So wait, yeah, that's a good point. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? What happened? How did we get here?
We were talking about being creative or maybe a lack thereof or wanting to share information. I don't know, man. We were just talking about books and then I was a guest on one of your podcasts and then things just kind of unfolded and here we are.
Yeah. So, you were a guest on, it was Virtual Expats, right?
Virtual Expats, that's right.
Virtual Expats podcast.
Yep.
And we kept talking offline and once I realized I'm addicted to voice messages on social media and once I realized that we needed to talk more after the interview, I was like, I made up an excuse, which was doing a different interview on a different podcast that I have about one of my favorite books in the world, Global Soul. And March 14th apparently is the day that all of the conversations started over
and
there.
Start it did, yes.
Oh my God. Yeah, like I spent about an hour going through 4 days of voice messages, and that's as far as I got so far.
That's a lot. Over just 4 days.
Yeah. Well, we started talking about the book and right. Pico's book is pretty intense. And then we eventually veered into talking about jobs, work-life balance, mm-hmm. sense mm-hmm. of place. I played with the words and said sense of language. Forgot that was even said.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
There's all kinds of stuff in those messages.
That's great.
Years from now, people are going to look these up and go, this started all of it.
All of it. We are so profound and we don't even realize it yet. Yeah, it's great though, because I felt right away that we had a good connection bouncing ideas off one of another and or off each other. And it's really kind of nice to be on the same wavelength as someone mm-hmm. and not just from an expat sense, but also from wanting to do things and to share information and put it out into the world. And so that really kind of took off. And I think it really took off after you mentioned something about sharing versus creating. And that really kind of spiraled.
Yeah. See, in the 4 days that I was able to get through, I remember it kind of starting to veer away from the book mm-hmm. when you started to talk about work-life balance and a new job and you didn't want that to overtake, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like that's when I was like, okay, this is no longer us just talking about the book or the podcast. This is us veering into life.
Yes.
And I feel like that's when that started. And then,
yes,
we did.
Good point.
We did start talking about creativity. Yeah, because then you were talking about writing mm-hmm. and then I was talking about writing, but now podcasting mm-hmm. and we went way into the deep of sharing versus creating.
Yes. Yeah, we went into it. So this is the problem. As soon as we start talking about one thing, we start going off in a million different directions. And so that's maybe where this podcast came from. We decided to find somewhere to collect our thoughts and process them and discuss them. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so absolutely. So, okay. So if I were to ask you, what your relationship with creativity was.
Ooh.
What might your response be today?
Oh, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Right?
We went there.
Yeah. Creativity, man, it is complicated because I've always viewed myself as a quote unquote creative person since childhood. I was always writing little stories or galloping around on imaginary horses and coming up with these, you know, little stories and journeys for myself as a kid. And that's just kind of followed me through adulthood, maybe not running around on imaginary horses so much, but definitely with writing and wanting to create a little bit, share a little bit, research, you know, that kind of thing.
What were the stories you were creating then?
Oh, as a kid?
Oof, yeah. I don't know,
just ridiculous. Probably animal related. I was really into animals, horses in particular. So I think I had like the herd of horses and maybe there was a unicorn leader or something. I mean, there was some things, man.
That's so cute.
Isn't it?
Oh my gosh.
Since early childhood, I've either been told that I was creative or felt that I was, and then I've kind of taken that with me through adulthood. And so then I think that's where it starts to get complicated, is because as we have discussed, I also procrastinate a lot and I tend to have these thoughts of things I want to do or ideas, and then I don't really do anything with them. And so that's when it gets complex. And I think I've started sharing some of that with you a bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's funny. I'm trying to think of the stuff I created as a kid. I think it was just storytelling for a while because I was really slow to get comfortable with reading and writing. And then when I did, I just went full throttle and I was, you know, alone in my room in a book. Anyway, yeah, so I actually started out making audio stories, but then as soon as I could read and write, I went full throttle into reading and writing instead. And then in my teenagehood, I did it as a form of rebellion. I hated the writing assignments we had. And so I made them as strange as I could because I was just like, this is ridiculous. This is a waste of time. I'm not learning anything. My teachers loved it and they would always pick me to read in front of the class because they're like, this is so unique. It's so different. It's wonderful. And I'm like, it's meant to be sarcastic.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, eventually you grow out of your teenage end. I actually really liked sharing. And I think that's probably when, oh my God. See, this is what you do to me. Now I've realized this. After I grew out of the sarcastic writing, I was just writing for fun. And that's when it turned more into sharing, sort of like collecting research.
Oh, yeah.
And then sharing like experiences and things with people.
Yep.
Instead of just trying to annoy my teachers.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a cool origin story for you though, because it started as just this act of, yeah, like you said, rebellion. This is stupid. So if I'm going to do a stupid assignment, I'm really going to go hard with it. So that's cool. Yeah.
Oh man. I mean, they would tear apart my grammar like crazy and I would just, it'd be like red would be the predominant color from all the grammar mistakes because I would write it so quickly because I hated doing it. But they'd be like, but it's great. It's great storytelling. So you have to come to the front of the class. And I'm like, you have no idea how shy I am. Yeah.
Well, maybe that was some early training for your podcast days, because now you're all about the voice and Instagram stories. And yeah, it's maybe it was good for you.
I think that's probably more the years of teaching.
Or that's kind of forgotten about that, yeah.
Or a combination of absolutely everything up to this point, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It is complicated. Oh gosh, from sarcasm to, I can see my tombstone now, from sarcasm to sharing.
Yeah, I like it. That could have been the name of the podcast.
I suppose, but it's not something I'm terribly proud of or realized until 5 minutes ago. Jeez Louise.
Wow. Yeah. Revelations left and right.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know if I can go on. Yes, I can. I lie. I totally lie.
We must
continue.
Otherwise, yes, this will just be poured into voice messages on WhatsApp, and the world will never know how brilliant we are.
That's very true. That's very true. Yeah. So then I think I remember where I was walking when we were having the voice message conversation about sharing versus creating, mm-hmm. and the pressure of people saying, you know, being creative, doing creative things, mm-hmm. creativity, like all of those words.
Yeah. And the pressure that we put on ourselves, or that we feel that the creative community maybe puts on each other once mm-hmm. we've identified in that way. And then what if we aren't creating something organically? You know, what if, mm-hmm. what if we're more into the research element, and then kind of putting our perspective on it, and then shifting that around, and then putting something else out into the world to share? Sharativity. Is that what we said? Sharativity.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because creativity shares. Yeah, sharativity. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that's also a form of creativity, though, because you have to be curious and you have to have perspective, right? So
you do. And there's a lot of art forms that, not that that's the only place to be creative, quote unquote, but there's a lot of art forms that are just a reviewing of things. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about you, but I grew up thinking it had to come, creativity had to create something completely new.
Yeah, same. Same.
Yeah. Here. So mm-hmm. it just, like, the stuff that I was doing, even though I felt like kind of the flow of the universe going through my fingertips, I was like, what's coming out is not new. It's just
yep.
a reviewing of what I just heard about it, what I just thought about it, what I just read about it. It's just collecting of it. It's a reshaping of it, but it's definitely nothing new.
Yes. Which, yeah, that's where it gets a little complex. But then again, in this day and age, when we're so well connected and people have mm-hmm. so much access, I think it's almost difficult to have a completely original idea to begin with. You have to be inspired by something. You have to, I don't know. I mean, can you have an original idea? And then where does the line come between your twist on something and then what somebody else has done?
Yeah. So. And was there ever a time when I see, okay, here's, okay, listeners, if you know this, creative historians that you are, please do let us know wherever our social media ends up being. Like, honestly, was art and creativity and this kind of thing, was it ever completely from nowhere? Like out of nowhere, like completely new? Or was it always a reshifting, a reimaging, a reshaping of stuff that already happened?
Right. Because you can think of about, you know, like the paintings they found on the inside of cave walls and things.
Yeah.
Is that art, or is that someone conveying an image of the buffalo or the other animals that were running across the fields and the people chasing after those? Was that done out of an artistic drive, or was that done to depict the day? You know, this is life. Yeah. So yeah, where does it come from? I don't know.
Where does it come from? Why do we have this idea, this pressure, this creative pressure?
Yeah, why do we have pressure if creativity is supposed to be fun? Especially, you know, for someone like myself, you know, writing has largely been mm-hmm. a hobby. And, you know, yes, I've been paid for it in some cases, which is great. But, you know, that's obviously not enough in my case to sustain me on a monthly basis. So it's something that I do recreationally mm-hmm. for fun. And so then why do I feel this pressure or this lack of follow through with myself? Yeah. You know, the expectations are only my own. So why does anyone get hung up on something like that?
Exactly. Yeah. Recreational creativity. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's supposed to be this release, right? Like we have maybe a structured day job that we don't have a whole lot of creative freedom. So then we do something fun on the side. And, mm-hmm. But then that also turns into I don't want to say burden, because burden sounds so heavy.
But anyway, yeah, the pressure is mm-hmm. intense.
It is. But why? It shouldn't be. Or maybe there's pressure because we keep saying should. Maybe there shouldn't be a should around something that we're trying to, I don't know, enjoy.
Is there anything creative you've done where you haven't told people you were doing it? Because I'm wondering if the pressure comes from thinking other people will ask us about it.
That's probably it, that accountability. I think the pressure with me is that I don't really like to talk about my work in that sense. So I've never been the person who says, guys, I'm working on this new writing project. I want to talk to you about it. I kind of don't like it when people ask me, so how's that writing thing going? Because I don't know what to say. But then I will do things sometimes where I will, you know, start something on the blog or intend to anyway, and I'll say that I'm going to do this weekly or I'm going to do this monthly. And then if I don't follow through with that, I feel, you know, not great about it, even though nobody's necessarily coming to me and saying, hey, Summer, I noticed you haven't posted about this thing for 3 weeks. What's up with that? So it's self-imposed, I guess, but then I do feel worse about it when I have put that that kind of deadline out into the universe and then I don't adhere to it. So.
I don't know. The last big, like writing-wise, the last big thing I did was probably the blog I did in, 2003, 2004. And that I was so culture shocked that that was like preservation. I had to come home and just regurgitate my confusion onto the screen every day. It almost didn't matter that people were there, and it was surprising that people were there.
Right.
But then I did have a guy say, like, when I finally made peace with where I was, I started to write a lot more about fun things like food and and going to night markets and stuff I enjoyed. And with this guy who was hitting on me, he was hilarious. He's like, do you think this is really what people need to know? And I'm like, what is this? What are you talking about? It's funny now because so much travel writing is in that area. And I was like, well, what do you think they need to know? And who are you to guide my blog? It was weird.
Yeah.
And you're hitting on me and this is how you do it? Like what?
And long story short, he's your husband now.
No. Oh gosh, no. No.
Well, at least you were putting your thoughts out into the world, which is great. And you needed that release, which I think was probably motivation for you to keep doing it, whether someone was reading or not. So, you know, that's good. Maybe
it was, but then, when I came home and tried to repurpose it, the urgency wasn't there. And so it just sat there.
That's maybe the key. Yeah. The urgency is not there. Nothing really happens one way or the other if I do or don't post every week. So, then it becomes very easy to just not, especially if there's other things going on, you know, through the week and I have a convenient excuse.
So there's pressure. I'm laughing at both of us, not at you. I'm not laughing at you, Summer.
No, I understand.
But I'm just like, wait. So we've established that there's intense pressure, but not enough pressure.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
What?
Yeah, what? It doesn't make any sense. It's true though. Why?
It's very
true. Wow.
How and where do we get the right amount of pressure to be productive without selling out and without
feeling
like we're not doing what we're passionate about?
Right. This conversation alone is complicated. So
it is.
Yeah. If anyone listening is interested in joining this chat, please send us your thoughts on creativity and how you deal with the pressure or the not enough pressure or the, I don't know, what do you do? Because one of the things we were talking about recently too were deadlines.
Yeah.
And I think I had mentioned sometimes I feel my most motivated to write at a time when I don't really have time. You know, for example, when I was teaching and I would have to leave for a class in an hour, I was suddenly so pumped to write. And then, you know, I would have to leave the apartment soon thereafter. But I cannot recreate that for myself. I cannot self-impose a deadline that initiates that kind of feeling.
Yeah. And for me, when I'm busy with things that are completely mundane and repetitive, my brain will start to process. It's like it'll get jump-started, but in a way that I need to pay attention to it, but I can't because I'm doing that mundane thing usually for money. And I'm like, well, I can't really pay attention to you right now because I'm doing this other thing that funds my life.
Yes.
But you're going really fast, so I should really do something to capture some of this.
Yes.
Kind of sick. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And the notebook thing can only go so far. Taking notes as you're sort of doing this other mundane thing, because then what I find for me at least is that I don't necessarily have the motivation to do something with that when I do get back and have that time again.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then there's just list upon list upon list. I have a paper calendar. I have a lot of calendars, but we'll just focus on one. I have a paper calendar with like appointments that's very tiny and also acts as my wallet because I don't carry cash. So my wallet's just basically a couple of bank cards. And my cash is mostly in WeChat wallet. Mm-hmm. And then I have this notebook, this like A5 size notebook of lists of different projects and different things and different ideas on things that are coming up. And they're just there by like each page is like a different category of things that are happening. Mm-hmm. And so that's where when my brain gets going, that's where the information goes first onto either a post-it, depending on what I'm near, a post-it, a piece of paper or something, then it gets into the notebook and then it goes on to one of the lists. Mm-hmm. And I don't always want to work on the lists, even though there are things I want to do. But I have noticed because I buried a list that I just dug up a couple of days ago and I actually completed a couple of things on them without consciously thinking about it.
Fantastic.
So, and it was very surprising to me because I didn't even remember that they were on there.
Oh, that's great. Then. That's even better. It's like automated.
So I think there's something about having them, even if I don't look at them often. And that's not something that I used to think. I used to think I had to look through every single list, every to-do list and make sure everything's checked off every day. And I drove myself crazy in my 20s trying to be very productive all the time.
Right. That's helpful, actually, to think about. I've been bullet journaling now for about a year, which, I know is all the rage on the internet, but I always thought of myself maybe as someone who should journal because, you know, the whole writing thing, and I like notebooks. They're fun to look at and buy and then never use. So, but I really wanted some way to kind of keep myself organized. Not that, you know, I'm this super busy person who needs to detail every aspect of my life, but I wanted something to kind of, you know, I don't know, something. So I started bullet journaling. And if somebody doesn't know what that is, just Google bullet journal and you'll find out within 5 seconds because it's a really popular thing. But basically you create your own journal as you go. And so every week I will map out what I'm doing for each day. And then on the other side of the page, I will have kind of a to-do list. I will have a little square for where I'll write down ideas and anything I want to do, either with my blog or with freelance writing. And then I'll have a little space for upcoming appointments. And so it gives me effectively a place where I can just sort of dump things as they come to mind and go into my schedule. And I found in similar ways to what you said, I will look back sometimes and think, oh, okay, I actually did do this thing. Or I did follow up on this that I wrote down and meant to. So I think there is something to that. having a little place where you can just kind of scribble things down really quick.
I have looked at a lot of bullet journals. And I have to admit, I've watched a few videos of people describing theirs and they look very neat, organized, color-coded and pretty.
Mine are not.
So I haven't called my list, my book of lists, a bullet journal, but I think on some level it probably is. Mm-hmm. Although it's not as time centered. It is definitely more topic centered. So yeah, there's that. But I suppose it could be a timeless bullet journal.
Which is great because I so many of the things that I write down on my to-do lists or that I want to do are not at all anything I adhere to time-wise. So it is mostly just a category, you know, here's with the blog, here's with, you know, some other writing thing, here's with the podcast that I want to, you know, look into, something like that. So yeah, it is kind of a category thing.
No, there's so many things. And I have an online calendar. And then I have like a piece of paper that I kind of map out a week or two and kind of put some of the tasks in there. So there's, like I said, I have a lot of calendar. When I go through and list off how many calendars exist in my life, I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm a true Capricorn in that way.
Have you ever thought about consolidating?
I have, but at my job, I can't use technology.
Okay.
So when I get downtime, which happens quite often, I want to be able to massage and organize and think about what I'm going to do the rest of the day, week, month. And I can't because I can't use a phone or a computer. And so right now, that just doesn't work. If I had a desk job or there was a computer, I probably would make it all digital.
Right.
But that's just not, or would I? Because I also spend a lot of time in coffee shops and there is something about pencils I really like.
Same. Yeah. That's what I like about the bullet journal is that it's very analog. I don't want yeah. the digital life. If I need to scribble something down, I want to do it by hand.
That's true. And I have noticed for the podcast, I had a bunch of tracking sheets and stuff in my Google Drive, and I noticed that I didn't keep up with them. Whereas as soon as I put them on paper and put them in the notebook, I could have them next to the computer yep. and I was always touching them. So I was always updating them. So I think there's something to like to-do lists not being part of the technology.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's creativity and organization. That's what we're,
that's what we're delving into.
Oh, so does the organization help free us up to be creative or does it stop us?
Yeah, I think it helps free up the space because if you have all these little open loops in your mind of things that you mm-hmm. need to circle back and tend to, then I think, at least for me, that makes it harder for me to focus on what it is that I want to create, whether I'm writing something or just researching or reading a book for leisure. If I have a lot floating around in my head, it's hard for me to focus on that. Mm-hmm. So
That's very true.
Yeah, I think it's almost similar to, you know, how when you sit down to do something productive for yourself and then suddenly you feel like you absolutely have to sweep the floor, you know, or you really need to empty the dishwasher or some household task like that, that, yeah, sure, it needs to be done, but does it have to be done right now? No, it doesn't.
It's so true. I have a painter, yeah, let's call her a painter friend, an artist friend, who says that, I think she even sent me an article once because I was complaining that I wake up and clean and then I get to work, and she's like, yeah, that is so common for women. She's like, the key is to not do that. Wake up and start with you first. And I'm like, I'm not hardwired that way. I mean, yeah. part of me is my surroundings and I'm a relatively messy person. Mm-hmm. So when I wake up and think I got to clean something first, it's probably a very healthy thing to do because I won't do it the rest of the day.
Yeah, no, that I understand completely. I'm the same way. I'm not a super messy person, but I'm also not mm-hmm. at all like a really organized clean person either. So I always have these little piles of things here and there. And mm-hmm. sometimes it just occurs to me, you know, wow, this really needs some management right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, this dust ball behind the, this bookcase is bigger than my shoes. So I should probably attack that soon. Yeah, no, it's just funny. So, and I have a lot of like a spurt of energy in the morning and I like to get that out, and there's nothing that I do creatively that is physically that energetic. So yeah. It has to come out in cleaning.
Yeah, that's a good point too. And I think there's really something also to just getting things over with and getting them mm-hmm. out of the way. So I like to work out first thing in the morning if possible.
I wish I did that.
Get it over with.
Good.
And if nothing
else,
what do you
do?
Well, like this morning, for instance, I did go to the gym and I ran mm-hmm. on the treadmill for 30 minutes and then I did about 15 Whoa. Minutes of just weight training.
Oh my God, I'm so impressed right now.
This does not happen every morning, but I do try to at least start every day with a walk. And usually, you know, we'll get up at 6, my husband and I take a little 40-minute walk. And then before 7, I have 5,000 steps. I've moved around. I've gotten some fresh air. I'm feeling more motivated to tackle the day.
Yeah.
But I definitely will not, for instance, go to the gym after I finished my workday at 6 p.m. That's when I want to cook mm-hmm. dinner. That's when I want to chill out. Yeah. I'm not going to go to the gym. So if it is going to be a gym day for me, that needs to happen first thing to get it over with, essentially. And that also sometimes for me translates to cleaning. I know if there's a lot that needs to be done around the apartment, if I have several errands that I need to run, I kind mm-hmm. of try to front load all of that stuff so that I can then free up my mind a little bit more for the so-called creativity.
Yeah, so-called creativity. Oh, you know, do you remember the TV show My So-Called Life?
Mm-hmm.
We could be My So-Called Creativity.
Oh, I like that, actually.
Probably wrap this up. Holy cow, we have really... Whoa. Okay. So, wow. Okay. So yeah, listeners, this is where our brains go when we're together.
Yeah. It's a little crazy and hard to follow, but what we want to do.
I don't think it is. I think that was a pretty decent roadmap of life and work and creativity and the struggles with the labels and the pressures and then the energy levels and organization. I think that's a lot. Actually. How the hell did we do that in half an hour?
I really don't know. So maybe just to give everybody a sense of what we hope to do with this, full disclosure, this is not meant to be an advice podcast.
No, definitely not.
We are not trying to position ourselves as experts. We are just Mm-mm. two people who like to do things and two people who like to learn things and then share those things mm-hmm. with the world. And we just want to talk about that process.
Yeah, absolutely. And in future episodes, because now we've started to talk about it and you've got me subscribed to a few creativity podcasts, and I'm sure I'll venture over into YouTube and look there. Mm-hmm. So if we come across stuff, any articles or YouTube or podcasts or stuff like that, if we find stuff and we end up talking about that, we'll of course give you guys the show notes. But right now there's so much in our brains that we have to empty that first.
Yes. we really need to do a big brain dump to put it eloquently.
We do. Once the brain dump is done, then we'll be ready for other ideas on creativity. And who knows where that will go.
Yeah, we might even have themed episodes sometime where we talk about one thing.
We'll see. Crazy woman, what are you instilling in them? It's going to happen. Pressure.
I know.
No, we can definitely do themes. Anyway, where should people find us? I guess for now we could just use our stuff, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we didn't think this through before recording the first episode, did we? So maybe we'll try to register a Gmail address.
What?
And see what happens.
Yeah. Just in case. So my handle is the same everywhere. STEPHFUCCIO, Steph Fuccio, including my Gmail address, but literally everywhere else possible.
Yes.
Where are you, Summer?
Really made that easy on yourself. I am Summer Outside on Twitter and Instagram. And actually, you know what? You can email me there as well. SummerOutside@gmail.com is totally fine. So, yeah, if you've stuck with us through this conversation, thank you.
And come back, because I promise you there will be more.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so, but, okay. Oh, we don't know how often yet, huh?
I think we're going to try to do every other week, right?
Every other week, right. Okay. Yeah. So we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yes, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's it. We probably need some sort of closer.
We might have to think on that.
I'm so used to doing this solo. This is so embarrassing. Okay, I should have thought this through. Oh, okay. So what time is it where you are now?
Right now, it is 2:37 in the afternoon.
Okay, it is 8:37 p.m. in Shanghai. So have a wonderful afternoon.
Yes, or a wonderful evening.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll talk again soon.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.